Scripture reading this morning, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. If you were in Generations this morning, you had the opportunity to see this passage of Scripture acted out before your eyes. I am reading, as I normally do, from the English Standard Version. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I thank you for the truth it declares. I thank you for its clarity. And I pray that as we share it together this morning, that your voice would be the one that is heard and my voice wouldn't get in the way. We invite you, Lord, to speak to us. And as you do, to help us worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent. It's a busy season. Because the Christmas shopping isn't done. Are you sure? It isn't. It will be, but it isn't. Turned out it was a busy season for the angels as well, that first Advent. All kinds of angelic appearances connected to the scriptural account of the Christmas story. And the consistent message when the angel shows up is, "Do not fear. Fear not." And I suppose it ought to strike us as strange that the coming of the Lord would even be thought to provoke fear in our lives. But it turns out that when God shows up, things can get messy. Interesting. So this Advent season, I want to look with you at some of those angelic encounters, some of those fear not messages. beginning this morning with this encounter between Gabriel and Mary, and take a look at the effect on Mary's life. And in the process of doing so, I hope, take a look at the effect on my life as well. Poor Mary. It was just an ordinary world for her. Young gal, looking forward to a life together with Joseph. And Gabriel shows up. And suddenly everything gets messed up. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you, says Gabriel. And Mary's first response is to be greatly troubled. She was greatly troubled at this saying, Scripture says. Well, you probably would have been too. What on earth is going on here? Who is this dude who showed up greeting me as a favored one? What does he have in mind? And Mary was literally agitated, trying to figure out what on earth is going on here. Bringing all of the reason that she could to bear. And things weren't quite fitting together. Well, Mary's life used to fit together pretty well. And then Gabriel shows up. And life gets interesting. Her life is about to take a serious turn in a direction she had never expected. That's part of the heart of Christmas. The Advent season. I know it's that time of the year when we just love to sing Joy to the World, don't we? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. But the reality is sometimes you have to plow through a lot of a mess before you get to the joy. Have you noticed that? Life's messy. And Mary's life is about to get a whole lot more messy than it used to be. Greatly troubled. I think I can guarantee that you are going to run into people this Christmas season who are greatly troubled. It's going to happen. Because there are lots of them out there. And if the truth be known, there are probably a lot of them in here too. We are people who sometimes are greatly troubled. Because let's face it, time after time after time, we can't figure out what God's doing. Put yourself in Debbie Wood's shoes and ask yourself, how would you feel the moment you hear that diagnosis? You've got a large abdominal tumor that's aggressively growing, and in the normal course of events will be a death sentence. I'd be greatly troubled. But I get greatly troubled and a lot less than that. How about you? It doesn't take that kind of diagnosis to make me greatly troubled. You know, life takes a detour, and life keeps taking detours. I told you, as I told my wife a year ago, I didn't think I'd be here preaching today, a year ago. Figured you'd have a new pastor here by now. That didn't happen yet. Don't get the wrong idea. I am not greatly troubled over that. Yet. I could get greatly troubled, but we're not there yet. It doesn't take much for us to get there, does it? The good news is that God doesn't leave us greatly troubled. And God didn't leave Mary greatly troubled either. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." If I'd been Mary, I might have interrupted the angel at that point. "Do not be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid." What is the opposite of fear? Faith. Trust. The presence of fear, kind of a normal, regular part of our lives, ought to trigger in us a recognition that faith needs to be strengthened. Faith needs to be fired up. It's kind of hard to exercise both faith and fear in regard to the same thing at the same time. Don't be afraid, Mary. You can trust God with this. You have found favor with God. Mary, you know what? God's pleased with you. Has anyone told you that lately? God is pleased with you. Did you know that? He is. God is pleased with you. You found favor with him. Did you know that? You know how I know that's true? Reminders are on the table. If I hadn't found favor with God, he wouldn't have invited me to that table. He wouldn't have saved me. Mary, you found favor with God. That's the good news. Now, Mary, there's a little bit of bad news attached to that as well. Or at least it sounds like bad news. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What is Gabriel telling Mary? Yeah. This favor that you found with God, well, that's a little messy too, as it turns out, because you're going to have a baby. I'm thinking that pretty much everybody here recognizes that babies are messy things. Don't need to take that any further, right? You're going to have a baby. And that baby, you are going to call him Jesus. Because he's going to be a savior. He's going to live up to that name. And this baby Jesus that you're going to have, Mary, he's going to be the Messiah. The one all Israel has been waiting for. You get to be the mother of the Messiah. So that's what favor looks like. Let me tell you, there are going to be times in your life when God favors you just the same way as he favored Mary, and you're going to feel like, so that's what favor looks like? You're going to feel like the guy who was about to be tarred and feathered and said if it weren't for the honor of the occasion, he'd just as soon pass. That's what being favored looks like? God, you just messed up my life. You see, I'm a young lady, and I'm betrothed to Joseph, and we've been good. We're going to get married. And if I suddenly become pregnant, what's going to happen to Joseph? Well, guys, supposing you're Joseph and you're engaged and she turns up pregnant and you know that's not your baby. Chew on that for a while. We're going to come back to Joseph next week. Mary, you're greatly favored. And Mary says to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin? I am puzzled. You're telling me something that I cannot understand. You're telling me something that doesn't fit. You're telling me something I can't put into the... my idea of how the world works. This is sort of out there. Listen, my friends, God's plans often will not make sense to you. You got it? Hey, pastor nominating committee, you got it? God's plans often will not make sense to you. Church, you got it? I can't make this fit. This is not the world I understand. Poor Mary, she's got a problem. How can this be? And I love Gabriel's response. And I hope you're going to love it as well. Because it's one that you and I need to hang on to and remember. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to intervene. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to intervene. Now, if you're Mary, what do you say to that? No, he isn't. You get into an argument with the angel? Does your concept of God let God be big enough to intervene in your life in ways you cannot expect? If it doesn't, your God is too small. God has an absolute right to mess with your life any way he wants in ways you can't even dream of. Gabriel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to intervene in your life. And then the angel says, I'm going to give you an example. Just in case you're having trouble getting a hold of that, you know your relative Elizabeth? Poor old barren Elizabeth? Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant. Too old to have kids. Well, no, not if God intervenes. Not if God intervenes. God is good.
He is.
And God is able. And the angel says to Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. When I was teaching high school Bible classes, one of the courses I taught covered this passage of Scripture. And that verse was, for that course, the shortest memory verse of the course. Kids loved it. And the NIV version is only 6 words long, not 7. I regularly asked students at the end of that class, it was part of their final exam, tell me one memory verse you have learned and why that memory verse is significant in your life now. And about 3/4 of the answers I got in that class were this verse. Not because of its length, but because of its content. Nothing will be impossible with God. I don't know about you, I need to remind myself of that pretty much daily. Nothing! God, this big mountain I'm looking at in my life, that's not impossible for you. God, this problem I can't solve, that's not impossible for you. God, this challenge I don't want to accept, that's not impossible for you. I tell you what Gabriel said to Mary. God needs to say to Malcolm. And I would guess God needs to say to you as well on a pretty regular basis. Nothing is impossible with God. The answer to you being puzzled about how God's going to pull that off is He's God. He's God. So He can. A fourth response here. Verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And Mary was fully submitted to what God wanted. Radically inconvenient though it was, messing up her life though it did, threatening the possibility of her marriage, risking her reputation. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." A commitment to Jesus Christ is all about Him being Lord. And it turns out you cannot have a Lord without having submission. You just can't. If there is no submission, there is no Lord. "Let it be to me according to your word." Okay? I'll go along with the plan. I don't know how many unanswered questions Mary had at the end of this conversation. What I do know is that she was willing to hold them in abeyance and trust God. Yes, God. It's a good thing to say yes to God. To be fully submitted because He is Lord. You see, the question, "Is Jesus Lord of your life?" is more than just some idle inquiry. It's essential. And it is central. Central to who you are and central to who He is in your life. May God help us to be like Mary. "Let it be to me according to your word." Or, to put it more simply in just two words, yes, God. Yes. Impossible stuff? You may face impossible stuff, God doesn't. And the table in front of us this morning is a reminder to us that we have a God who does the impossible. Your salvation, your reconciliation to God, that's something you could pull off? Absolutely not. You could never be good enough to pull that off. Me neither. So Jesus Christ did for you the impossible. And then He gave us reminders so that we wouldn't forget that he is the one who did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And he invites us to his table. Now we gather here this morning, and maybe you have come greatly troubled. It's okay. It's okay. God can handle your trouble. He really can. You have come greatly favored. In fact, that's the only way we can come to this table, is because he has called us and invited us and made us his. It's appropriate that we come greatly puzzled. Can you actually figure out the depths of the love of God who would save the likes of us? Don't you feel like Mary? How could this be? But we come, my friends, fully submitted. We come to this table recognizing that Jesus is Lord. Lord of my life. Lord of your life. That's who he wants to be. It's who he desires to be. Who he longs to be. And if you're here this morning and that isn't quite true, make it true. Invite him freshly to be Lord. Commit yourself freshly to follow him as Lord. Call him Lord for good reason, remembering that there can be no Lord without submission. Father, we gather at this table thankful. Thankful beyond words that you would redeem us. Thankful that you would give us hope by stepping into this world in order to go to the cross and satisfy the penalty for our sin. Lord, what great love. Humbly, we thank you for the gift of your salvation. Humbly, we honor you as Lord. Humbly, we take the bread you broke, the picture to us of your body, the reminder of grace greater than we can imagine. And we take the cup, the reminder of your blood poured out. Lord, thank you that you are Lord. Thank you that you made it possible for you to be my Lord. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for a reminder that we need. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus took bread and he broke it. He gave it to the disciples. He told them to take it, to eat, and to think of it as his body given for them. You do not need to be a member of this church. You simply need to belong to Jesus Christ and honor him as Lord to participate in communion. You're free to partake of the bread as you're individually ready to do so. Thank you for loving us so much. As we go, may it be with the realization that you go with us. Be Lord in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.